unhappy child is good, because it will make you realize the time of happiness. Means what he put me is good. Somehow I'm good. This is the magic of the word. Conversation goes like this. All the goodness from outside should be connected to me somehow, because I'm made by that stuff. Therefore, I am good and I am right. Yes.
The Prophet has declared that God said, "My purpose in creating was to do good. I created to the intent that they might draw some gain from me, and that they might smear their hands with my honey. Not to the end that I might draw some gain, and that I might tear off a coat from one naked."
Yes, this is quite correct again. This is a manifesto, which we have it in different shapes in our poetry. And yes, that's something that we understand and we accept. God did not create this existence to have a benefit. God created this universe to give the benefit. He is the giver. He gave us everything. We cannot even imagine that he will benefit from this. This is correct, but has nothing to do with the subject. This is how your brain will fool you. Again, he went to the Prophet. Prophet said that God has declared that I did not do all this. Means that he is good, he is great, he is lovely. Okay, now talk about me.
During the short while since he drove me from his presence, my eye has remained upon his beautiful face.
He is good and I love him, even if he is not fair with me. That's the base of this argument, isn't it? But I love him. That's why I am good as well. Yes.
Such wrath from such a face. Oh, wonderful. Everyone has become preoccupied with the clouds. I do not look at the cause, which is temporal, inasmuch as the temporal produces something temporal. I am regarding precedent mercy. Whatsoever is temporal, I rend in twain.
Do not think that if I'm damned, I dislike him or what. No, I love him. I love him even more. I miss him. Then comes to jealousy. Yes.
Grant that my declining to worship was from envy. That envy arises from love, not from denial.
Aha. This is the point. Aha. I did it? Yes, of course. I'm jealous. Because when you're in love, you're jealous, isn't it? Isn't it? This is the logic. Jealousy has nothing to do with love. But look around you, in the literature and different cultures, it is as a proof of love. In the country I was born, they still do this, that a man will fall in love with a woman, they call it this. Then the class doesn't let it happen. Then the guy will go and will pour acid on the face of the girl, that if I cannot have it, no one should, because I'm jealous. This act of violence is the proof of that quote-unquote love, which is wanting something, which has nothing to do with love, because asking for something is quite logical and very animalistic. This giving, this surrender is the love. But here, the Satan will turn everything around to arrive to this, that a lot of people will tell you. I brought you the acid and stuff like that to remember, then look around and we'll see that any bad influence fellow you will find, when they talk to someone and say, I'm telling you this for your own goodness. Just because of, I don't want you to be damaged and lose something and things like that. I do it for good. Even jealousy comes from love. And what was the reaction to that jealousy? He didn't bow. He didn't do the sujda. No excuse for that. If somewhere you are lower, in a lower level, you should bow. If something doesn't let you happen, do not transfer it to the goodness or explain it with this and that and that. Yes?
It is certain, all envy arises from love.
Is it really certain? But when logically they tell you this, you cannot question it. Especially when it is coming from your own brain. This is because of that. Yes.
It is certain all envy arises from love, lest another become the companion of the beloved. Brooding jealousy is the necessary consequence of love. Just as saying, live long, must follow the sneeze.
You see the comparison? Said, imagine when somebody sneezes, you should say, live long, God bless you, Gesundheit, something like that, right? It's exactly the same when you love someone. You should be jealous. Sometimes it works. Don't laugh at it. Because this is how we trick ourselves in the name of goodness and love. Yes. Now, this is the major stuff. Yeah.
Since there was no play but this on his board, and he said play, what more can I do? I played the one play that there was and cast myself into woe. Even in woe, I taste his delights. I am mated by him, mated by him, mated by him.
Doomed by him, damned by him, not mated, but here as if the life is a game. He will see it as a chess playing and say, I didn't find something else. Haven't you seen this? You will hear it outside, somebody will do something and say, why did you do this stuff? And say, that's the only thing I thought about. That's the only thing I can think about. And you cannot say, okay. Mental hospital. You're crazy because you choose wrong. But no, very naively. And don't you think I'm sorry about it? It even hurt me more when I did it. He said, yes. In that pain, I was tasting the sweetness of his kindness and all that nonsenses which are the base of the self-argument, the ego. Yes.
How shall anyone, O noble sir, in six directions deliver himself from the Shashtara?
Do you know what Shashtara is? Shashtara is a very simple stuff. It's the game of Bagaman. In game of Bagaman, which is like a book, each side, which they call home, has six holes in it, right? If you cover six holes consequently, no matter where, you have blocked the other fellow to go get out because it needs a seven. And there is no seven in days. In days is 1 to 6. Therefore, six out or six port means Shashtar. Means when you are helpless. The fortification is strong enough to stop you. That's what calls Sheshtar in Bhagavan. Yes?
How shall the part of the six escape from the whole of the six, especially when the unconditioned sets it wrong? Whoever is in the sixth is in the fire. He that is the creator of the sixth will deliver him. Truly, whether it be infidelity or faith in him, he is the hand loom of the Lord and belongs to him.
Even if my ego is this big, God created me like this. I was born like this. It's a genetic defect. Later we'll talk about child abuse. This is how the excuses grow. But look at it. He played with the number six. And you know, six is the reality, is the cube of reality. And in Bhagavan, that six is like that because it's made for that days, which is the reality, the existence. Here he said, see, in reality sometimes you have to do this stuff. Be real, okay? I did it because the situation was like that. When the situation asked for it, it will happen. It was not my fault. All the defense that Iblis has actually are all the thoughts that is in us, belongs to the ego. Ego will defend itself. How? Ego will represent itself as good no matter what. Now, again, let's see the reaction of Caliph and other arguments.
How Muawiyah again exposed the deceitfulness of Iblis. The Emir said to him, these things are true, but your share in these things is wanting. You have waylaid hundreds of thousands like me. You have made a hole and have come into the treasure house. You are fire and naphtha. You burn, you cannot help it. Who is there whose raiment is not torn to pieces by your hand? Inasmuch as it is your nature, O fire, to be a cause of burning, there is no help but you must burn something. This is God's curse, that he makes you burn, and makes you the master of all thieves.
You see how Muawiyah approaches. This is the way you should approach your brain. Do not go on with the conversation he was bringing in at all. The first was, okay, all this is good, but it has nothing to do with you. When you talk about, yes, the human being like this, this is not you, you're my ego. So do not bring me all of that. Let me bring you your file. What is in your file? What have you done to the people? Because I cannot fight my ego, really. I cannot even try to understand it, but I could see it in other people. I could see how ego will ruin the life of people. And when I look around, every rotten stuff comes from ego. Why? Let's hear it. Why?
You have spoken with God and heard face to face. What should I be before your deceit, O enemy?
When you think about belief, the believers, before becoming believers, who are they? Don't answer me with the non word which doesn't explain. Who is an unbeliever? A fellow who could challenge the idea of God. How does that challenge start? First of all, the idea of God doesn't appear in here. It comes from outside. We talked about it. The prophets, the saints, the holy people, they reflect the light towards us. Okay? Then here, somebody will stand up.